And welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. The show you are about to listen to is joined in progress. There was an audio complication, and I am done making excuses for anything like that. It's not fair to Nadia Lanfranconi, who joined me as my co-host. It's not fair to John Barrowman, who is our guest. There is no audio issues with the John Barrowman interview, though. So I wanted to be able to say you were about to join this show in progress. It's about 10, 15 minutes before John Barrowman comes on. And Nadia and I just got done talking about Nadia's long week, and we're about to talk about Dennis Farina. Once again, my apologies to Nadia Lanfranconi, John Barrowman, to our fans, and to anyone who's listening for the first time. This does not happen. I am very, very sorry. You can join us at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, The Matthew Aaron Show on Facebook. You go to the search bar and the likes. You go to the search bar, you type in The Matthew Aaron Show, you click like. We're on Stitcher. On Stitcher, you can listen to us along with the BBC and whatever else flights your fancy. We're on iTunes, and the best way of all to join the show is www.thematthewaronshow.com. John Barrowman, Doctor Who, Torchwood, Carol Barrowman, his sister, they've written some books that we're going to talk about and speak of, and Nadia Lanfranconi, actress, singer. Please enjoy the show, and we hope you return for more. Phone in the hot tub. I guess we had an audio difficulty because I'm the only one here. I guess I have to repeat the Dennis Farina thing. We're here at 603 North Hollywood Way here, Taste Chicago and Burbank. And as Nadia was discussing, you heard Nadia discussing it. My audio cut out, I guess. Dennis Farina unfortunately passed today, who's a really, really good friend of Joe's. And Joe wrote a very nice note about Dennis on Facebook. And just so everyone knows, yeah, Dennis was a great actor. Of course, you can check him out in Midnight Run and Crime Story. Michael Mann discovered him. He was a Chicago cop. Good Italian man. Thank you. Yes, Caesar. Okay, yeah, I got it. Thank you. Thank you. Caesar's interrupt my Dennis Farina eulogy. My second Dennis Farina eulogy.
What's going on with that?
I don't know. He's not here, so he's like sending notes from the grave, wherever he's at. So Dennis Farina, big loss. Chicago guy, really influenced me, wanted me to. Dennis Farina, Dennis Franz, Joe Mantegna, those kind of guys, those were the guys that made me believe that I could come out here and act. So that is a
really?
Shame with Dennis Farina.
Wow.
Yeah, because I'm from Chicago. And Dennis was a cop in Chicago, and then he was discovered by Michael Mann. He worked as like the police like technician on Thief, and then Michael Mann casted him in Crime Story in '84, the Vegas crime show. And so Dennis was a really good actor and a really good man, and so that's a shame. And we're here at Taste Chicago once again, mini deep dish. I'm here with Nadia. And the official statement from Joe Mantegna was, "With the passing of Dennis Farina, I've lost one of my oldest and dearest friends. I share that loss with the entertainment industry, the Chicago Police Department, and all his friends and family. His memory will live forever in my heart, Joe Mantegna." So that's very nice. So back to you dropping your phone in the hot tub thanks to your mother.
That's a shallow thing.
Yes. Oh, and John Barrowman's going to be joining us any minute now, I believe. Doctor Who, Torchwood, Arrow. So you've seen him on a few things. He was at the San Diego Comic-Con this week, no doubtedly getting blown left and right. Figuratively.
Oh!
Figuratively. Do you ever go on to Comic-Con?
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
because they didn't ask me.
I don't want to get
into
how
much. I'll only go if they pay me to go.
There you go. She'll only go if they pay her. That's the spirit.
I'll dress up.
That's what Comic-Con's all about nowadays. If they pay you to go.
Yeah.
Cosplay. You know what cosplay is?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you get in the costumes.
Yeah,
yeah, sure. All right, that's good.
Who
you know
could
cosplay.
I don't know.
I don't know.
All the characters in the...
Yeah, wait. What would
have
be
huge
good
boobs,
for Nadia?
And I don't. So, but that's an easy fix.
Yeah,
a couple
they don't all have huge boobs, do they? You could tell they're drawn by men. They all have ginormous boobs.
And you can tell those men.
You could do like
mom.
Batgirl. You would be a good Batgirl. I could see it. I could see Batgirl. So tell me what you've been working on. What are you working on?
Okay, so I had 3 nominations for the Los Angeles Music Awards. So
now,
I'm finishing recording this song. We have to do the music video and all that stuff. And also, I recently started working with this management company. It's called Avenue Entertainment, and they sent me out for an audition.
Yeah.
And I booked the role in
the
movie.
That's great.
It's a sci-fi comedy with all the original cast from Star Trek.
That's great.
It's funny, and it's called Unbelievable. I read the whole script.
So you read
really
the whole script and you laughed? Did you laugh?
Yeah, all there right. was a few lines that I don't know if I should repeat or not. I can't.
Is it going to be rated R?
But they say they're picking up some people in the industry that everybody knows. And it's
now, is
funny.
That the Shatner Star Trek cast or the Patrick Stewart Star
Shatner.
Trek? Okay, the Shatner one. So we're talking like Leonard Nimoy and all them.
Whoopi Goldberg's supposed to be in it.
Whoopi Goldberg? Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow, that's now Whoopi Goldberg was the Patrick Stewart one though, wasn't she? She was
maybe
the next
I'm saying
generation.
A bunch of bullshit. I don't know.
No, I like you know keep
the,
spewing your bullshit. It's
called
okay.
Unbelievable. It's, and yes. If you go to IMDb, you can see
Unbelievable with an exclamation point. Go to IMDb, check that out, and then you've been writing music and
And
that's
going
well.
You know, in the
well.
Past months, June and July, for you know people who don't know that it's for print, for modeling. Those are the months you're getting a lot of work. So lots of catalogs, lots of, you know, posters, whatever.
That's good. That's good. So you're just working a lot. So what else is going on? What else do we have going on? Is there anything else? What time is John Barrowman going to be here? Do you know? Lee's doing the producing now. Emergency phone call to Lee. He brought an emergency pair of headphones, and now he's doing some producing for me. That's how it's done. Completely unprepared for my one and only job this week. Yeah.
That's okay.
Are you enjoying summer in L.A.?
Yes, I actually am having one of the best summers ever. I don't know why.
There's no heat wave out here. The heat wave's everywhere else. You work out, right? So you're on the treadmill.
No, I don't.
You don't? What?
No, I know.
Come on.
I hate to say that, and people hate me. I'm one of the few lucky people who don't have to do anything.
Oh, man.
Unless you consider sex a workout. Then I
Well, then you must have a lot of it because you're looking good.
Don't complain. Let's just say that.
Well, my point being was I figured at least that like you'd be watching the TV and you saw all the heat wave stuff going on.
Yeah.
Because that's the only time I see the TV.
Where's
right.
That?
Not here. Not in L.A. You really want people to hate us. We should tell everyone.
It's
been like
true.
85 and beautiful all day.
It was raining last night, Joe.
By you. On the west side it rained.
Really?
It didn't rain by me.
Oh.
It didn't rain over the hill.
Excuse me. I know, but my car looked like...
No, it didn't rain over the hill.
It looked like 1,000 birds shat on it. Like, it's a little annoying, muddy rain. And really dirty.
Well, you know it flooded in Vegas this weekend.
Really?
And New Mexico. Caesar's Palace was flooded. The inside.
I'm really sad about that.
Yeah, are you? I bet that they're going to have to spend a ton of money to fix that place up. Yeah, I'm sure everyone's hearts are broken over that. No heat wave here. Have you been going to the beach at all?
No.
Really?
I went to the pool.
You don't? Oh.
Oh, I know. Oh, man.
I get it. Man.
I didn't even know the cliche.
What an actress.
I'm going to hit them all today, okay?
What an actress. You go to these pool parties.
Pool.
You go to pool parties.
Party.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Private pools.
Get-togethers. Private pool get-togethers with, you know, a few close people. And then you're all really good looking.
Yeah.
And you all lay out.
My buddy,
he's gay. He went to a pool party yesterday. And he posted a picture from it. And it's like someone's birthday party or a pool party or something. But there's like 30 dudes in the picture, right? And like 2 women. And all the dudes are in amazing shape, and I'm like, you guys won't make friends with fat people. See, this is why I had to get into shape so we could be friends. Nadia told me,
everybody.
No, Nadia told me when we met, if I don't drop like 30, we're not friends. That's a true story. She told me that.
I want to tell you something, Joe. Saturday night, I went to see Val Kilmer.
I know. I want to see that
Mark
so
Twain,
bad. Citizen Twain.
Yes, it was really good.
Val Kilmer was great, right?
Yes.
And you met him? You saw him backstage?
Yeah, of course. And the only thing is that...
Yeah, of course.
No,
of course
sorry,
I met him.
Sorry,
of course.
Sorry. No. The funny... I'm sorry. God. It sounds so bad.
You were looking so good today.
I hit my head really hard.
Yes, you did. You hit your head very hard.
So... Let's just say that I have really bright orange nail polish on my toes right now. Let's just assume that, which is a fact. And let's just say that people were kind of picking on me and say, like, what happened to your toes?
At Mark, you know, at the Mark Twain?
No, before.
Oh,
before.
Before that.
So we go there, and I'm meeting Val's mom.
Yeah.
And I'm looking down, and she was wearing exactly my same nail polish.
Really?
Yes.
But Val's mom's a little older than you.
I know. I don't know. What does it mean? We're all sharing nail polish. What does it mean? Does it mean something? She must be like 75. I don't know.
I love this about you. You think there's meaning in everything.
I look down and
I love it.
Because we were talking about it before. And then I looked around and I kind of like, you know, make sure everybody noticed that we were wearing the same nail polish. And then I was like, I don't know if it's a good thing. Maybe.
It's like a sign that you're wearing the same nail polish as Val Kilmer's mother.
Maybe.
That means you're going to have a very famous son who one day will drink scotch and smoke cigars on stage and deliver. It's a one-man show,
news,
right?
I'm not going to have kids.
You're not?
No.
Just you're against it?
No, I'm just not going to happen.
Just not going to happen? Now what do we got going on here?
I don't think so, you know? Plus,
yes,
I always thought adoption was a great thing. If I ever feel like, first of all, when they were giving the motherly genes, I probably was in the bathroom doing something else. Cause I don't
love adoption. Adoption's great.
Think about adoption.
I'm serious, though.
I'm serious, though, right now. It's going to be funny, but I'm serious.
Okay, it's going to be half funny, half serious.
Yes.
I got you. Half and
There's
half.
A point.
Yes.
You get a kid that is maybe like 5 years old, okay? So you're already saving 5 years of your life.
Okay.
No diapers.
Okay.
You can already kind of choose the style.
But you lose the cuteness a little, the baby cute.
Ah, that's the cute. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, you go see your friend's
kids. Okay,
then
you can kind of choose the style. Like, what is he going to look like? You can make it look like a little bit like you if you want to, or completely different if you want to make it obvious.
So you want a boy.
I want a...
It sounds like you want a boy. It sounds like you want a boy. And adopt a boy. What color would you like that boy to be?
No, come on. So you can kind of talk to them and test their abilities. Maybe they have musical abilities.
You want to interview kids at adoption agencies. You don't want to talk to the people in charge of the adopting. Nadia wants to interview the five-year-old children. Make sure they match.
If I ever feel like...
Make sure they like Gucci.
If I ever hit my head harder than last night and I feel like I want to be a mother, I will probably do that.
You'll do the adoption thing? Yeah, are you gonna get like one of those like Ethiopian kids?
No.
I love how decidedly you were about that. You're like, I thought long and hard about that. No, not happening.
I can barely take care of my dog. Seriously, that's not good. No.
What kind of dog do you have?
I don't know. It's a
that's good.
Hybrid between a pig and a monster.
Did you like adopt the dog?
I got stuck with it.
Yes. Stuck with it?
You know the typical foster parent story. I'm going to help out.
Oh, you did a foster,
and then they
never found anyone for
it. Yeah, I couldn't find a family for him. I felt sorry. It was either me or death. So I felt guilty, and I kept it. And it was so
that happens
bad.
All the time.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
You know, I've thought about it. Like, I'm already 30. I'm turning 30 next month. So I'd like to have kids, but I wanted to have, like, 20 of them. Now I can't. That's not going to happen. So now there's like no point.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I just wanted a lot of kids.
20 kids?
Well, I wanted a lot. I wanted like over 10.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's kind of weird, dude.
Whatever.
You better start fucking now then. Because...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I got a lot of catching up to do. I'm not going to get to 10 at this point.
And you better be with a lot of different women. You know what I mean?
I'm going to get one at this point, I think. It's going to be when I'm like 45.
You mean one woman or one kid?
Both.
just do a Euro trip. Go to France. Go to.
You know, Jesus did not
knock down one girl
Jesus
for her country.
The Vatican is against contraception, so it should be easy to have 10 to 20 kids.
I am on a. I mean, maybe this is too much information, but I'm on a birth control pill, and I'm happy I am. And
I don't think that's too much information.
Yeah, and the proof is that...
You're from Italy.
Yeah.
How serious do they take the Vatican there? How serious?
I mean, it's not what it used to be, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So So the mob isn't that big there anymore. The Vatican's not that big there anymore.
No, the mob is still big.
Oh, no, the mob's still big. Okay, that's good
to
know.
My family in South Italy, they're all mafia.
Really?
I want to come back. I want to go back. I can't wait to go back.
So you could be like a mafia princess?
Yes.
I like how excited you are about that. I want to kill some people. Me. Yeah, all right.
You tried to fuck with me, motherfucker. No.
Well, how'd your family react to you wanting them to go to Hollywood? If they're
in that kind of
business.
Wait, I didn't want to go to Hollywood. No, I was by chance.
Wait, what's your story? How did you end up here then?
This is another cliche. Fell in love with a man. For him.
Oh.
And then after a year we broke up. And I was already here and I didn't want to go back.
The man you fell in love with was in Hollywood. Or he lived
in L.A.
He lived in L.A.
Yeah.
And you met him in Italy.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God, this is like one of those Nora Ephron stories. He flew to Italy. We're in love.
Yes.
I'm going to L.A.
Yes.
We're going to do this. I'm young.
We got married.
Did you?
Yes.
You're divorced? I didn't know this. Oh, separated. Whoa.
Yeah.
You've been separated a long time
Five years now.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's quite
kinda
the separation.
Lazy, you know?
So why no divorce?
Oh, I, you know, we can.
Just haven't gotten around to it.
Lazy.
Now, you're like legally separated, though, right?
Yeah.
Or is it?
I don't know.
Do you
How
have to be
work?
Legally separated?
Well, the only thing I know is I filed taxes by myself. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you still talk to him?
Yeah, we're friends.
Oh, you're friends now?
Yeah, he's a little crazy,
nice.
But that's okay.
That's nice that you're friends now, though. You know,
I don't hold grudge.
That's the funny thing about getting older. Don't you find you're friends with a lot more of your exes? Like, you're not angry with them anymore. You don't hate them.
No.
Like, they may have problems, but that's their deal.
Like, one, maybe, like, you know,
oh, there
I hope
was
he burns
one.
In hell.
Was
the other
was
one.
He an American or Italian?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm just going to say he should be in jail for what he did. So.
Really?
That's all I'm going to say.
What's the difference? Well, that could be anyone out here. What's the difference between Italian and American men?
Italian. Living in Italy, though.
Yeah.
Because it's different when somehow when they.
No, I'm Italian, but I'm not really Italian.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm not from Italy.
Okay. Typical example, you go out one night, you meet a guy, you sleep with him the first night.
In America?
No, in Italy.
In
Italy?
Italy,
that guy becomes your boyfriend the following day, and you're madly in love with him for the rest of your life.
Oh, really?
Kind of.
So it's like the gay community. Like
here,
gay men like meet each other, and then they like fall in love that night, and then they get married, and then they get divorced 2 weeks later.
No, that's your boyfriend, you know.
Italy, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. How do relationships last out there, then?
They do. I mean, I always had good experiences in Italy.
Really?
Yeah, I get great boyfriends in Italy. Then I came here, and I'm like, what the fuck?
I love Italy. I would love to live there.
There's not enough work.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
There's not enough work?
No, not right now. It's bad.
Yeah. I do love it there. Hey, I'm not getting a lot of work here either, so maybe roll the dice.
Well, it depends what you
want to
do,
Maybe I could be the American guy in Italy. They need those guys, don't they?
Oh, they love Americans.
Do they?
They do. They love
the
whole...
So yeah. I could get a job in Italy pretty easily. They'll be like, oh, he's American. Give him a job.
I think you have to marry someone, you know, unless you want to...
Who can I marry in Italy? Who can I marry?
Hey, I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, put it
in
out
Italy,
there.
In Italy, I'm actually not married.
Oh, so we could go back there, and you could be a mafia princess, and I'll be your scumbag American husband.
Holy shit.
That'll be great. I like the way this is sounding. We should get someone to write this show. This is a sitcom. See, this is our sitcom. You and I should write a sitcom about you and I married, moving to Italy.
Only in Italy. You can't claim it in Italy.
In Italy. No. We'd have to make a sitcom in Italy. They don't do that. We should do that. That's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, you and I need to do something together. We need to work on something. Are you?
Shooting a pilot on not.
You're shooting a pilot. Look
know.
At you.
Wait, some people got in trouble at the airport saying this. What are you going there for? I'm going there to shoot a pilot.
Oh.
Come with us, you idiot.
Wait, what kind of pilot are you shooting?
No, we're shooting a pilot for Italy. It's
sort of like
an entertainment show, and I'm the host. There are two hostesses.
You're like the Maria Menounos.
Oh, I went to her birthday party. She's really nice.
Yeah.
She's crazy. She made me dance, and she's nuts.
She is really nice, I hear.
I didn't have that energy.
I saw her at a party once, and she's married.
Yeah.
And
no.
she... Isn't she? She's got a boyfriend or something?
Boyfriend. She's got a guy.
Right, sorry. Boyfriend. Looked really intimidating. Not the boyfriend. Not like, oh, he's a tough guy, but like, I mean, I just didn't feel like saying hi to her or anything. I felt like it'd be weird. I've never met her before or anything, but she is
really
gorgeous.
Nice. Yes.
Gorgeous, and everyone told me she's the nicest woman
super,
ever.
Super sweet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I didn't know her well, and she just grabbed me. She was hugging and nice and making sure that I was okay, and then, you know, I got my drink.
That's
and,
nice.
Yeah, yeah.
She's going to be like the, you're going to be like the Italian Maria Menounos.
Well, that's what I used to do before for E! News.
Yeah.
I was the Italian host for E! Entertainment.
For E?
Yeah.
Did that pay well?
Yes, up until they closed the production.
Oh, well, that doesn't help.
Because in Italy, they don't have a lot of money. Anyway.
Really?
Recession hit bad. Yeah.
That's what I heard. Yeah, I heard the recession's bad there in Greece, and Greece is bankrupt.
But so we're trying to put together a show that has no limitations, though. Like, I want to go to people's house and interview them while they're cooking and see what they're cooking in their house. When not at the fucking restaurant. Like, I don't want to know what they eat when they go to expensive restaurant. I want to know what they eat when they're home.
See,
alone.
I did that show. You're doing the other show. You're like, I'm going to go to someone's house and watch them make cereal.
And I want to see what pajama they're wearing.
Right. So basically, you just want to like spy on people in their homes.
No, that's just a part of it. Then we have to go to places and show life in LA because, you know, in Italy, they're not.
See, then when I'm famous enough, you come to my place, we'll have a pajama party, and we'll make like Rice Krispies or something.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, this is how the other half lives.
Yeah.
The non Beverly Hills
so
pool
Italy
party.
People in Italy can vomit. Well, they're appalled looking at what Americans cook in their home.
I just love how the woman that's too good for public beaches wants to go spend the night at strangers' houses. That's really good. That's really good.
I'm not too good. Wait, wait.
Oh, wait. The strangers' houses, though, do they have private pools?
Of course.
Oh, then okay. Then it all makes sense then. Yeah.
Well, just keep news and stuff. But
I got to hang out with you more.
Yeah.
I always hit you up. And you hit me up, and then, like, we're both really busy, and I see you when I see you, and I love you to death. And I'm like, boy, I wonder what she's doing. And now I know what you're doing. You're going to private pool parties. You're going to private pool parties. You're going to other people's parties. You're hanging out with Stevie Bauer. Yeah, just good times. Good times all around for you. I saw on your Facebook one night you were hanging out with Tom Jones.
Yeah,
I'm like,
we're really good friends. I love
them. We're really good friends.
But the reason why my best friend in Italy, Matteo, works with him.
Oh, okay. Well,
I've known
fair.
Matteo for 10 years.
All right.
Okay?
Well, my best friend is Lee. So you have Tom Jones. Lee and I sit out on our porch and smoke and play. He plays Super Mario on the Game Boy Color, or is it Advance? Yeah. So you win. You win. I'll hang out with Tom Jones any day. No offense, Lee. No offense.
He stays up till 6 a.m.
Tom?
I can't even.
So do I. I stay up till 6 a.m. I go to the gym at like midnight. I'm a maniac.
And he likes to sing all night. It's so much fun.
I hope
he
likes to sing. There's no other reason to hang out with Tom Jones.
All night. Do you have a piano there? It's on. The night is on. He will provide
I'll buy a piano
for everybody.
I'll buy a piano. I love Tom Jones. That sounds...
They're in England now, but they have a tour, but no, nothing here. They came here like in, what was it, May.
The Troubadour, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I'm a big Tom Jones fan, so I knew about it. And I felt the same way about you that night that I felt about you the other night when I saw you went to Val Kilmer's show. And then I'm like, she does all the shit I want to do. And, like, I was planning on going and seeing you and stuff and seeing Val and, like, I'm just too lazy or something. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I would have told you you were going there.
Well, that's what you were saying, but, like, I can't.
I found out that day we were going.
But I cannot make plans willy-nilly. As Lee knows, it takes me, like, 2 hours to decide where I'm going for dinner. For dinner. Which corner store will I buy my cigarette?
By the way,
that's like 35 minutes.
Because I'm Italian, I found this place in Koreatown.
Yeah, I love
Third
Koreatown. You're talking. Okay.
It's called All'Angolo.
Sounds expensive.
No.
All right.
It's very small. You will never think.
All'Angolo.
You know, yeah, All'Angolo. You'll never think that it's amazing. It's the best Italian food I've ever had.
What?
6 years here. You know why? Because the chef is Italian.
Well, there's a couple places out here where it's just Italian.
Yeah, no, but this guy is something else. This guy used to work for the expensive places, and then he left.
Yeah, so this guy, at Firenze Osteria. Have you been there?
No.
All right, well.
I just know that after I had the capriccioza.
Have you been to Pizza Cotto in Brentwood?
Too far, no.
Brentwood's too far? It's like 5 minutes from your place. It's literally 30 from mine. I don't say too far. Man, Nadia just does not leave the house.
I need to share this because I was...
Koreatown's farther than Brentwood for you.
It's worth it, though. I'm
okay.
Serious. After I had that pizza, I had a pizza capricciosa there. It was
really?
So good. I was like... screaming, people are looking at me like, what is wrong with you?
I'm writing it down. I'm writing it down. Alangolo, right?
It's A-L-L apostrophe Angolo.
Oh, it's apostrophe.
Yeah, it means at the corner. That's what it means. And the owner, Giuseppe, is really funny, and he's there cooking, and it's so fucking good. I suggest the bruschetta and pizza capricciosa. And
I knew it was bruschetta.
Tiramisu was amazing.
I've been saying bruschetta for years,
yeah,
and my
guys,
parents are like, it's bruschetta.
No, you're
That's
not.
That's what my parents say, it's bruschetta. Right. And then, how do you pronounce mozzarella?
Mozzarella.
Thank you. There it is. Vindication. Oh, sweet vindication. Mm. Yeah, right. The
fagioli.
The fagioli.
Fagioli? Oh, no. I'm going to get something else.
That is kind of, yeah. Yeah, right, by the guy not on it. Thanks, Lee. Lee's been criticizing our performances, and he does not think Nadia and I are good. Where's John Barrowman? Is he on his way? 4:30, I hear. 4:30? Okay. Well, listen, he's a big star.
Okay, we better say the dirty jokes now before
right.
he comes in.
He's a big star. He's probably getting ready in our green room here at Taste.
You mean the bathroom?
Yeah, which is outside. You have to go outside
in
to use the bathroom.
In the parking lot.
Yeah, well, I actually think it's a genius idea on the Montaigne's part because you really don't want the bathroom inside the place, I feel. I feel you want it outside. Keep the smells out there. Keep them outside.
You know what I hate?
Hmm.
These hotel rooms when they have the bathroom.
Now, you're
going to
talk about
private.
Some ritzy hotel room shit now. You are pricing yourself out of every listener of our shows.
No.
Okay.
No, but you see those hotel rooms, then they have the sink in the same room as the bedroom.
Oh, in the bedroom?
Well, like maybe in a corner, but there's not
maybe
a
you're not staying at the ritzy hotel.
There's
that sounds like the Motel 6.
There's not a real separation. It was the Trumps, okay?
Yeah, leave the light on. At Trumps?
Yeah.
Wait, okay, so at Trump's hotel, I love how you admitted you stayed at Trump's. I don't know what to do with you. At Trump's hotel, where I'm guessing it's like for a small room, it's like $600 a night?
I don't know. Nah.
I don't know.
Not, no,
other
not,
people
okay, wait,
pay
wait.
For it.
No, it was not in the States, so it's different.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
It doesn't matter. I noticed that. So,
the
but not just that. I noticed in other places. There's like the sink is like in a corner, but there's not a separation, a real separation from the bedroom. Maybe it's still in the same room, even if it's in a different corner, you know?
Wow, you would not last a week with me on the road.
And the toilet, it's like glass doors, and you're still self-conscious about
glass
noises.
Glass doors?
Well, it's kind of like, I don't feel like there's enough noise in the toilet to cover up my noise, you
You've
know?
Never stayed at a Super 8, have you, babe?
I have.
You have?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something,
all
you
right.
motherfucker, okay? please.
Okay, go ahead. I'm listening.
5 years ago, I was 6 a.m. I was walking the street, stranded, when I broke up with my whatever. And I didn't know where to go.
Oh, this was like the husband story?
Yeah.
This is the night
I didn't know where to go.
Okay.
You know where to go. I walked and walked, and I found a shitty motel in West Hollywood. And
Super 8.
I know.
No?
It was the one where the IHOP is.
Where the IHOP is. Oh, it's one of those. Like,
dirty.
Yeah.
I got a room there because it was cheap with my euros. I got a room there.
They took euros there?
Well, I have a credit card with some euros.
Okay.
No. I have
That's
some
fair.
Saving that I hardly worked for before I moved
Yeah.
there. But it wasn't much, so I was freaking out. I have to be careful now.
Okay.
And I didn't know what to do with my life. I was there. I didn't have a place where to go anymore, and I was completely fucked. I called one girl that I knew, this Italian chick. She picked me up. She took me to her place for 2 weeks. And in those 2 weeks, I had to figure out my life, find a job, and do all this stuff.
She only gave you 2 weeks, or you felt I'm only giving myself two weeks? I don't want to be a burden.
I don't want to be a burden. Yeah.
So you stayed at a cheap motel for 2 weeks?
No, I stayed there for one night. She was so disgusting.
One night, okay.
And then she was like,
and then she saved
you. Don't do that. She was like, just come with me.
What was disgusting about it?
Just dirty. And
I stayed at one of those before. It looks like...
I feel like, you know... Blech.
Yeah, it feels like you're sleeping in other people's blankets. And by other people, I mean like thousands of other people's blankets.
If I have to get STD, I want to have fun to get right?
I agree. The grossest thing that ever happened to me at a hotel, and I don't even know if I want to tell this story, but the grossest thing ever was, obviously, whoever cleaned my room didn't clean my room. And when I arrived in my room, there was a rag of semen on the floor. On the floor. And I go, oh, a little dish towel from the bathroom. They left it in the floor. And I went over to go pick it up.
No.
I didn't touch it because I looked down and all I see is semen. And
wow.
I go, well, I'm changing my room. And I didn't even get a discount or a free room or anything. They just changed my room. I go, all right. That's about right. That was at a Super 8. No, that was not a Super 8. Super 8s are good quality. That was at a, well, not for you. They're not. You.
Okay.
They're owned by the Wyndham. You stay at the Wyndham. I'll stay at the Super.
I can sleep on a couch if I have to, okay?
You do not.
Yes.
A nice couch.
Yes.
All right. Not a futon. Where was it at? I forget which hotel I'm disparaging, but Super 8's fine.
Speaking of gross stuff, last night I was with my friends, and they say, what was your worst sexual experience? And I thought I had it bad.
This is what someone brought up. In L.A., sweetheart?
Yeah.
No, you're not freaky enough
bad.
To have it that bad.
Then I heard what they say, and I felt lucky.
You're in L.A., girl. You. By the way, okay, you're in L.A., you've pretty much dated normal people. For L.A., normal. You know what I'm saying? No, because here's what you're not following. People out here, their sex lives are crazy.
Okay.
They're crazy. You think you're crazy. When I moved out here, I said to myself, I just had this conversation with Brad Bell and my friend Melanie. And we were talking, and I said, man, when I moved out here, I thought I was going to be the weirdest one. I thought I had the craziest stories and, like, the drugs and the drinking and the sex. And I was like, man, I'm coming out here like I'm Vince Neil or something, right? And I came out here, and I'm listening to other people's stories. These people are freaks.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood people are freaks.
My friend said he was having sex with a girl, and she said, hey, take it easy. Go easy because it hurts. I just had an abortion.
Oh.
Oh. I'm bleeding a little bit. I just had a...
Oh. That may be the most disturbing thing I've heard today. Sadly, not most disturbing thing I've heard this whole... my whole time I've lived in L.A., but... Today, you win today.
You're going to turn off. I mean, how is your dick going to stay hard after that?
Yeah, that's really bad. John Barrowman's just arriving. We're going to let him get set up and stuff. He doesn't have to jump right in. Do you need anything to drink? Eat anything like that? Hold on. Go ahead.
I was just pulling my underwear out of the crack of my butt because I've been sitting in the car for an hour.
Oh, no, that's okay.
See, I have the same problem,
okay.
Right now because I have something else in my
butt. You have something else in your butt?
Do you want me to help you pull it out?
One of those days. No, it's like a little string that is annoying.
Oh.
One of those days.
Am I totally interrupting?
No, you're not interrupting.
Well, we're
waiting on you.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking about sex. You don't want anything to...
You really?
I don't know how it got to there, but it got there.
No, I can talk sex.
What we were saying, you know, my friend brought up this conversation last night saying, what was your worst experience?
Oh, you're going to tell him this story?
Experience.
Oh, this is great.
And I thought I had it bad. Then I heard their stories, and I'm like, whoa, you guys are really fucked up.
And what's the story you heard last night? Tell John the story.
I was having sex with a girl, and she said, oh, take it easy. It kind of hurts. I'm bleeding a little bit because I just had an abortion.
Ah,
that would be like, ooh, stop. Thank you very much.
Welcome to L.A. That is so Hollywood. I don't even know what to say about it. It's so that's not Joliet. That's not us in Joliet.
I've never experienced.
You know, you grew up literally 15 minutes from me.
Where did you go?
I'm in Downers Grove.
Oh, that's really.
So Lockport, all that. Oh, yeah,
Yeah.
I go to the casino all the time in Joliet. Oh, yeah.
How many times a day do you go?
At a time, too many.
That's
too
cool.
Many.
Yeah, see, the casino was just, I think, being... Well, no, actually, it wasn't there when we were there. You're talking not the riverboat. You're talking the big
No, not the riverboat. The big Harris. Harrah's. Yeah. They put up a Harrah's.
Because that's down by Caterpillar. Where
yes.
That's where my dad was a plant manager at Caterpillar. So
wow.
I remember when that area was just nothing. I mean,
really?
Just Caterpillar, and that was it.
You've been around the world, though, man.
Been around the world tonight. Yeah. I can't find my baby.
You've pretty much done it all.
Yeah.
You really have.
I'm not had sex with someone who's had an abortion.
Not yet. Not yet.
Hey, that wasn't me. Don't look at me. It's not one of those stories. My friend said, no, that wasn't me.
I mean, did everybody, sorry to jump
No,
back.
This is great.
Did everybody go,
oh my God.
Stop?
Yeah. Oh. Because we were giving each other points.
But you were giving each other points?
Yeah. He won the first prize. No.
Yeah, no one.
We're Italians. We're Italians.
Oh,
we talk about sex all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just you and Italians.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
A bunch of Italians. Creeps.
Yeah, creeps.
No, Italians aren't creeps. No.
By the way, John, this is Nadia, by the way.
Hi, Nadia.
Nadia,
nice
John.
To meet you.
Yeah, right?
Very, very nice. John Barrowman, we've been trying to get you on forever. I'm a big fan. You're always traveling. You're always doing business. You're always business. You're an entertainer. You don't really consider it business, I guess, right? Sometimes.
I got to be honest. I mean, I'm an entertainer, but my business is the entertainment world.
Yeah. The money's good.
Yeah, the money's not bad. It treats me right.
You just got back from Comic-Con. You're hanging with all my friends. You were with Jane Espenson and Brad Bell and Sean and, my buddies.
Love Jane. Jane, as you know, wrote for Torchwood.
Torchwood.
Yeah. And I've known her for quite a while now. And just anytime I see her, it's like, you know, again, seeing a part of the family. So I had a great – con was great, yeah. And I think with Sean, I was I posted some bathroom pictures with Sean and I. So if you want to go check out my Facebook page.
I got sent like 20 pictures, but I don't think I got any bathroom pictures.
You got to check out my Facebook page.
I saw one where someone was – you were going to kiss someone or something. There was some tongue action.
That was Jonathan Ross.
Okay.
I know Jonathan's a talk show host in the UK.
I couldn't tell who it was in the picture.
Yeah, and he dared me. He said, you know, when we go up and do this, but I want you – you know, with Neil Gaiman – and I want you to come up and Neil Gaiman and I kissed last year, and he said, "But I'm going to sit up so that you kiss Neil Gaiman." But then I want you to turn. I said, "Yeah, and kiss you." So I did it, and after I was done, I walked away, and I was like, I came back and said, "Jonathan, what the fuck did you eat?" That's awful. He's like a hot dog, mustard. I'm like,
oh.
Yeah, a hot dog and mustard with some Tom Ford cologne in your beard. Who puts cologne?
How did you know what I was wearing? You knew. You knew.
Cologne? Dude, I got...
Who puts cologne in their beard?
You know
knew.
What was my worst sex experience? Okay, right. I'm going to say because it happened in Italy, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't count.
Right.
I had a boyfriend who was a virgin.
With Tom Ford?
So he didn't know anything about sex.
Right.
He was 23 and he didn't know anything about sex. He was gorgeous.
Oh, well, yeah.
He was an ex-fat.
Okay.
He used to be a fat guy.
Okay.
And he lost all the weight.
Ex-fat? Ex-fat? Ex-fat. All right, that's good.
You,
he
was gorgeous, but he was ex-fat.
Yes, ex-fat.
So inside he was still a fat boy, okay?
Oh, okay.
And that's why he was a virgin.
All right.
Aww.
So I laughed the first time he told me he was virgin. I thought he was fucking with me. I was like, shut up.
And no, not
like,
yet he wasn't.
So here comes the time that he wants the first blowjob, okay?
Yeah.
And he says, bluntly, can you give me a blowjob? And I'm like, sure. Okay, hold on. I'm going to go in the bathroom and refresh myself. He comes back. I start. And I'm like, ew, what is wrong with your penis? And he's like, I left some soap on it so it will smell good. And I'm like, motherfucker, that does not taste good, though.
Oh.
Have you ever ate a bar of soap?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
A little spritz of some cologne on the balls.
No,
never
you don't
want
to do that.
But not on the dick.
Why
bitter.
On the balls. I mean, you know. Yeah, well,
no
you don't want
to.
No. Yeah,
no. Just normal, natural essence.
Wash it with soap and clean it and dry it, and that's it.
Man smell. Just man.
Yeah, I suppose.
I couldn't believe it. You thought that was a good idea.
No, that's wrong. That's somebody who's...
That's
It didn't taste like hot dog and mustard and black orchid, though.
Thank God. Thank God. Yeah, so that was my experience of tonguing Jonathan Ross.
Jonathan Ross is a great talk show host, though.
He is. I've been on his talk show many times in the UK.
He's great.
And Jonathan always... He always tries to shock me, and it's very rare that you can shock me.
Yeah.
So I walked on the show once when I was doing one of the Andrew Lloyd Webber shows that I did in the UK, And I walk in, the first question out of Jonathan's mouth, he's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, hey, come on, da da da, sit down." He goes, "So, Barrowman." Oh, he talks like this. "So, Barrowman, have you ever fucked a gorilla?" And I think for a minute, thinking, okay, he said gorilla. And I said, "No, but I have had a few bears in my life." Anyway, so I love him. He's a good guy.
Yeah,
he's really
so fun.
And he's, you know, Jonathan's also a major nerd.
Yeah.
Major geek.
Is that why he was at Comic-Con? And what was he doing at Comic-Con?
Well,
just hanging, or
was
he hosting too?
He was hosting the Eisner Awards also. And
that's right, with Neil Gaiman and you, yeah.
Correct. And he was also doing, you know, he writes comic books also, but and his wife is she adapted one of the X-Men movie. Yeah, she did Kick-Ass.
Wow.
Oh,
Mark Millar. Yeah, Mark Millar. He's great. We love Mark Millar.
They're all into that stuff. And those of you out there who do not know me, when I say geek and nerd, I mean it with all due respect because I am one.
Yeah, you are.
All right?
You are.
So I can say
I like to pretend I'm not, but I am. I am. I like to pretend I'm not. Like, I pretend I'm too good for it, but I'm not.
Well, show me your shoes.
I got Nikes on.
Yeah, but they're white. You're a geek.
Yeah.
Now show
is that how it works?
Yeah. They're white. I mean, and
I've
got
shoes white? Oh, yeah, they're white.
Yep. And I've got.
I'm not going to show you my feet because I still have the horrible nail polish on.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
you don't, because
no,
look,
no,
you
no
and my sister got the
that.
Same.
Oh, my God. It's
my God.
That is horrible.
Now, wait just a second. You, John's sister Carol, and Val Kilmer's mother all wear the same foot nail polish. Yes. Val Kilmer's mother was rocking the same polish the other day.
Show your feet up. My sister's going to take a picture of your feet, and she's going to tweet it to my Twitter, at Team Barrowman.
There you go.
At Team underscore Barrowman, and then you'll see what color we're talking
now.
About.
There you go. There you
bright
go.
Bright orange is cool.
Now, where's Val Kilmer's mom? We're missing a pair of feet
here. I know,
here.
Right?
Where's Val's mom?
She's probably got hammer toes.
Did she have nice toes or did she have hammer toes? Val's mom have hammer toes?
You know what? I can't really remember that.
Oh,
I just,
you would remember it. Trust me. You'd remember it.
No, I guess they were nice looking. Otherwise, I would have remembered
it. I remember everything about Val Kilmer. All right? I don't even know where to start with you because you have like 50 projects going on at a time all the time. First of all, do you even live in L.A. or do you live in – where do you live? Where's home for you?
Well, I don't – home for me is in two places.
That's right.
In the UK and in the U.S. At the moment, I'm over here working, so we have a house in Palm Springs.
Okay.
Stay in Palm Springs, but I also have a place in West Hollywood.
Okay.
But I've rented that out.
So how's Palm Springs?
High maintenance now, bitch. Picking on me, guys.
No, don't pick up.
It's a little high maintenance. But why Palm Springs?
Because
why so far?
Because living in the UK for such a long time, the rain. We
okay.
decided if we're going to have another house, we want it somewhere sunny.
Well, it never rains really in L.A., though, either.
No, but, you know, L.A., everybody's a bit...
Yeah, I just couldn't do the drive all the time. You do the drive?
I don't come in here every day.
Okay, but like when you're shooting Arrow.
When I'm shooting Arrow, I fly. Here's the reason. I have a flight from Palm Springs to Vancouver.
Oh, it's in Vancouver.
And it's a 2.5-hour
That's
flight, which would take. What?
That's not exciting. Vancouver.
Vancouver's nice.
It's fun. It's nice, but.
It's nice, but you know, I get to go, I do my work, come back home, and then I'm by the pool when I'm finished filming.
Yeah. Greg Berlanti, of course, he's the showrunner for. Creator of Arrow.
Correct.
Great. Great producer. He did Brothers and Sisters and some other work as well.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite the coup for him to get you for that show.
Well,
and, I mean, let's not lie. You're coming back. Come on.
I could be returning in flashbacks.
Yeah, you'll be returning, though.
So, wait.
Yeah.
Because you have a slight English accent.
Well, actually,
you could do.
I'm actually born and raised in Glasgow, Scotland. And when I'm with my sister, I speak Scottish. And my mom and dad, I speak Scottish. But when I'm with Americans, I speak American because when I came here as a kid, Americans made fun of the Scottish accent. So I thought, fuck you. I'm not gonna be made fun of. I'm going to speak like you.
That is so actor of you, though, that you do two different accents.
Well, see, no,
like,
but I see
in like
so
normal life, right?
But I think it doesn't. To you, you might think it's a conscious thing that I do, but it's not.
But this
really?
Is a natural way.
No,
you
my,
know
my
what?
Natural way of talking is like this, but I just like do.
This.
I just do. This is also natural.
Yeah,
it's like being bilingual.
That's great though, because when I go back home to Chicago, my Chicago
bisexual.
Accent. Yes, it's just like being bisexual.
We call it my sister and I in our first book we wrote together. We call it bidialectical.
Bidialectical.
So you're not far off.
Was that Hollow Earth the first one?
No. The first one was Anything Goes, my autobiography.
Oh. I didn't. I'm not counting your books. Your autobiography.
Yeah.
You have two. By the way, 2 autobiographies by 45.
No.
Look at you.
I didn't want to write an autobiography.
Yeah.
The publisher came to me and said he'd like you to do
yeah.
it. So I'm like,
say
yeah.
sell. Sure.
Okay. So we did the first one, and then fans really loved the first book. It was a bestseller for 13 weeks on the Sunday Times bestseller list. And we then decided, okay, I don't want to be like some people where you're like Britney Spears, who has 6 autobiographies, right? You know,
one for each personality.
Exactly. So the second book was more a continuation, but more stories from my life and fans who've written to me, taken their letters, and how things that I've done have helped them or changed their life experience.
You got the best fans.
And that was my fans were great.
How did you get the best fans in your mind? When did this happen? Do you remember this time in your life where the fans started pouring in and you were like, these guys are great?
No, you know what? I mean, if I had a formula or a recipe for it, I'd bottle it or whatever and sell it to other people so they could have really great fans. But the fact of the matter is, I think the thing that the fans respect the most is I'm honest.
Yeah.
I don't tell lies, and if I want to be private, I'll just tell them I don't want to talk about it. But, you know, I've pretty much been an open book.
You are an open book. Coming out was never a big deal for you, ever, in the business.
It almost happened by accident,
and
I never really thought I was in.
Yeah, you never cared, though.
No.
You never cared. Why didn't you care? Do you think a part of it had to be the European... the European nature of your life, where you're not in L.A. So, I mean, in L.A., as you know, and trust me, you and I could talk privately about this days, I'm sure.
Oh, no, I know. I know people
with
that
all
I'm
the closeted
with
people out
closet.
Here. Sure.
Yeah.
And you know why. And you know it's.
But you know what?
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
And it doesn't need to be that way, because all it takes is one person to take the stand and make the move. And you know what? If you think that it's going to be detrimental to your career because you're a gay man or woman, it's bullshit. You have to just fight against it, and you have to be who you are, because the fact of the matter is, people will respect you for it. But saying that, if it's an emotional issue while you're not coming out of the closet, you know, it's something you got to deal with, that's nobody's business. That's
sure.
your business. You do it when you feel like it. But also, if you've gone so far down the line of playing that game of, you know, I've got a wife and... You know, we're happily married, blah, blah, blah.
No, a few of those, yeah.
Yeah, and that way, you can kind of never come out, because people will just call you a liar.
And
yeah.
what about those, you know, those people that they have a certain, I'll just make an example that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Let's just say there's an actor.
Apparently.
Apparently there's an actor, and he has this macho kind of idea of himself.
Yeah.
It can't come
like
out.
Like a Jason Statham. Like a Jason Statham,
no,
for instance.
No, he's going to go watch their movies because he's not...
But that's not... I don't think that's true, though. They may think that, or that actor may think that, and the studio may think that, but I played
I agree with you.
I played an action hero who was bisexual. Well, he liked mostly men. Captain Jack, and he's become iconic in the sci-fi world, and he's... excuse my French, but, you know, it's made me a lot
I got to be honest with you. I agree with you. I think it's bullshit, too.
Because... Acting is acting. It's not like they're pretending. They are pretending to be somebody else.
Yeah, but you know that. I know that. What about all the other people?
See, but that's what the studios are stupid about.
This is
probably why I'm not working so much, because I say this. But they really don't get people in the Midwest, or even the people in the South, or even people overseas. They don't understand that they're living in this bubble in L.A. that's very 1980s Reagan-esque, even though they claim they're super liberal. And they don't understand that people in Chicago already think every entertainer in the business is gay anyway.
Oh, okay.
Every single one. Even your buddy Tom Jones, who obviously is the straightest man alive.
I know.
Everybody in the Midwest is like, he's in Hollywood, he's gay.
No.
And they still buy his albums. They don't care. They really don't.
It's funny about Tom
Jones.
Look
at Doogie Howser. Look at Neil Patrick Harris.
May I say Tom Jones is 73 years old, and when he looks at you, he still makes you feel naked. He makes you feel like, I have to put a shirt on.
That's why he's got it. That's why
still
he's got it.
It, man.
But no, you're right. But again, in L.A., the most homophobic people are the gay men and women who run the business.
I know.
Themselves.
That's the funniest part. They're the ones that think about it the most. They overthink it.
Yeah.
I don't think they're bad people. I think they overthink it.
Yeah. Well, they worry about things too much. You know what? Everybody just be who you are.
Man.
My motto.
Well, that's what you got on right there. T-shirt says "Dare to be you." That's great.
But the thing for me is, you know, I've never apologized for who I am. I never will apologize for who I am. And if somebody doesn't like me, fuck them. I don't care.
So you're happily married. You've been married a year now, right? You've been married a year now? Wait, what's that? Oh, is that a clap?
I always have it with me. You know what's funny? When
what
it's
else?
In my purse, sometimes accidentally will just drop. And unfortunately, sometimes
it
will go.
Fart?
Yes, it goes up on the fart.
All right, you know what's great about this is you two aren't into the show enough to know this, but I play a fart soundboard on here when I want to, and my producers get really, really mad about it, and they, like, say no one wants to hear that and stuff.
What?
I just want to clear up.
That was
Nadia's fart soundboard.
Yeah.
Nadia
fun.
Brought her own fart toys.
I did. I have a remote control fart machine.
This is my favorite.
Do you?
Yeah. And I took
the one that you put under the chair or whatever, and then you hit someone with?
On an airplane, they're brilliant. Because if there's a spare seat that you want next to you, just put it somewhere, press the button, and... And that person is up and they move.
That's great.
They get out of the way. And just pretend that you don't even know that it's happening. And just a slight lean when you press it.
So I know you were being cheeky, but let's just get this question out there for the Arrow fans. You made a comment, I forget in which publication I read this, though, that you would do Arrow if Stephen Amell and you both were naked, or if he was naked
scene. No. I said to...
What was the comment? Because it was funny.
Andrew Kreisenberg, who...
That's right.
The producer, when they approached me to do it, and I said, of course I'll do it. I want to be part of a new show. It's iconic. I get to recreate... How many actors get to create a new character in a brand new TV show and, you know, and say they can do that? But one condition, you must give me a naked scene, a scene where Stephen Amell is naked. So this last series, in the final episode, he wasn't totally naked.
Yeah, right. Is that as close as it's
shirt
getting
off,
for you?
Hanging from chains in a room with his leather pants on and me standing there. And in fact, in one take before we did it, I walked up to him and I got really close and really, really close to his face. And he thought I was just preparing for the scene. And I looked at him and I went, tweaked his nipples.
No way.
Yeah.
It must be hard to stay in shape for those kind of roles.
Steven works out amazingly, and you know, I know from playing a character like Captain Jack and having the weight of a ship on your shoulders, you have to really maintain and manage your time, and there is sometimes no time to work out and go to the gym.
Right.
So he goes on a specific kind of diet that keeps him lean and looking good throughout the series, but he continues to work out. He's been on a hiatus, but he's been working really hard, and he looks amazing.
How do you do it?
How do you do it?
Do you go to the gym often?
No.
No? Really?
Are you kidding?
No.
Yeah, she never goes to the
gym.
That's
the only workout we know in Italy.
That's natural?
That's natural.
I hate you. Yeah, I hate you
drop
and
your
I hate
pen.
You.
You guys can see this. Drop your
I'm
pen
in the
for a
gym
second.
2 hours a night for this.
Wait.
Okay?
No, I am not. Okay.
Drop your pen.
Drop your pen. Well, that won't be a problem.
Oh, no, believe me, there'd be no laughing.
Oh, I always
do.
So
it'd be like...
I was waiting. Now, listen, I was waiting for John Barrowman to drop his pants on this show. I was waiting for it.
There's no reason.
Because usually I'm the one dropping my pants.
Really?
Well, I mean, it depends on the mood.
Do you wear underwear?
I wear underwear.
Listen.
Joe Mantegna does not want me underwear-less.
Listen,
here.
Last time I dropped my pants on the radio, I got in big trouble.
Did you?
Yeah, and I'm not doing it again.
That really happened?
It totally happened, and it was totally blown out of proportion. And the thing was, can I remember?
I didn't
remind
know this.
You, it was on the radio.
That's really funny.
Made a huge deal out of it, and people were complaining and saying, I don't want my family watching him on television dropping his pants. It was on the radio.
Stupid.
Oh, you were wearing underwear, weren't you?
I was wearing underwear.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about you and Carol's book here.
Go.
All right. Hollow Earth's the new one, right?
Hollow Earth, Bone Quill.
Bone Quill's the new one. Hollow Earth's the first
Earth
one.
Series.
And there's it's a trilogy. Right, one.
Correct.
All right, I had a couple questions about this. One, it's like it's. I wouldn't say children's fantasy, but it's fantasy.
It's what we call mid-grade fantasy reading, but also it's been written in a way that my sister. See, the thing is, we sit together and we do all of the kind of brainstorming, the character development, the putting, the storylining, da 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 da. She takes all the information after about 3 months away, and she does the hard work. She writes the book.
Okay. That was I was going to ask what your roles are when you...
That 50-50 partnership. And when she's done, she goes away for about a year, writes it all out, brings it all back and says, all right, here's the proof. Let's have a look at it. And then I start going, let's change this, do this, da-da-da-da. So it's a true collaboration. The third one's going to be coming out. So it's the first one's trilogy, but we've got a new publisher, and we've been asked to write four more.
Wow.
Congratulations,
four of the same series or just anything you want?
No, same character.
They want it in the Hollow Earth series,
world.
In the
but
world.
We've written it in such a way that it's not just for young people. Adults are
right, like a Harry Potter kind of like audience.
Yeah, and you know, some people would go, ooh, I don't want to be compared. You know what?
Sure.
We're being compared to brilliant.
No, it's the same type of audience,
right,
though, where it relates to teens and adults. I'll tell you why I love you right now. You talked about...
You said that.
I do. Really?
I do. Let me tell you something. You're creating new characters. You're creating new worlds. That is something that in the book world, in the entertainment world, is desperately needed. Desperately needed. I find it very interesting with all these superhero films coming out one after another and all these sequels and all these remakes. There needs to be new characters. There needs to be new worlds because what we're going to be doing is we're going to be cornering ourselves very soon.
Oh, yeah. You can only repeat something so many times.
So are you looking at doing films or television of these novels?
Of course.
Of course.
It's been written that way. You know, when I said to Carol when she went away to write the books themselves, I said, look, remember, we want this to be lifted right off page and put on a screen.
That's great.
And so we've done it that way specifically. You've got chapters that are also, for the readers, not very long, but we get right to the point very quickly.
Yeah.
So there's no kind of bullshitting around. Also, it makes sense because we're dealing with TV audiences now who have a span of about 8 minutes. Then they want to go to their fridge for the commercial.
And you and Carol will be tonight and in Montrose, right?
Correct.
Montrose, California. At a Once Upon a Time bookstore. That's at 7 p.m. Pacific time right now tonight.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
That's we're going right after we leave you.
Hollow Earth, and you can bring by Bone Quills to get signed as well or buy it there. They'll have them there for sale, I'm sure.
They will have them there for sale. You sign them. And generally, they've sold a certain amount. They've given out a certain amount of tickets, but we're pretty quick. And if you're there and you have the books, we will probably get
some. So where is Montrose from L.A.?
Why don't you ask my sat-nav?
Yeah.
My navigation system.
Who knows?
I have no idea.
Who knows where Montrose is compared to L.A.? Mel, do you know? Mel, no. Okay.
Thanks, Simon, my publicist. Okay, so it says to go on the freeway. I think it's the 210.
Okay.
And then we come up. No, it's the 134 and then go up the 2. And Montrose is right off of the freeway.
So how much time are we talking? What's the distance?
It's 22. It's 12.5 miles, 22 minutes.
That's nothing.
Yeah, but
if you're in L.A.,
that's like an hour.
Well, yeah, especially if you're going towards Glendale, sure, with the traffic.
Oh,
yeah.
I hate Glendale.
But if you're in L.A., yeah, boom, you're right there. You hate Glendale?
I lived in Glendale.
Did you?
I did when I first came
to Pasadena's beautiful. Did you ever, like, walk across to Pasadena just to get away from Glendale?
No, because I couldn't afford to. I stayed at the Ritz-Carlton in Pasadena once.
Okay. Who's talking about the Ritz
now?
Wow,
you two. You two need a room.
The Ritz, yeah, but we were put up by the studio when I was filming a thing called Central, it's called Titans. We were doing Titans, and we were put up there for the...
TCA?
TCA.
Yeah.
TCAs.
Yeah,
and,
TCAs.
We were put there. I had a great time there, but I lived in Glendale because it's all I could afford at that time. And I hated it.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question about the Ritz?
What?
Was the bathroom, like, private, separated from the bedroom, or did you have the sink kind of in the same room?
We had this discussion before you came in.
Honestly?
She stays at some ritzy hotels. They have bathrooms in the room, I guess.
Oh, no. Some of them have it's like an all big ensuite, and the bathroom is in the center of the room.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, not the Super 8. That's what I know.
Yeah, you know. And Holiday Inn Express don't have
that. Yeah, Holiday Inn Express,
but I'll be honest with you, I can't remember. I think it was a separate bathroom that I had, but I was pretty drunk during that period.
Well, that's during that whole period.
Are you
on the sobriety bandwagon?
No,
okay,
no,
all right, okay.
No,
just,
no,
just
I'm,
me
I'm
then.
Not, I'm not in that L.A. trend to look for a date.
Oh, I didn't get any dates
that's
from
right.
it, trust me. I'm not getting any dates from that. That's why I go to the gym now.
Really? Good for you. Good for you.
Well, yeah, I go to the gym, but not for
dates. Except you're going to a gay gym, so you're getting the wrong kind of action in the shower.
I go to... is there a straight gym in L.A.?
No.
I just love when people hear these stories about, like, John Travolta's at some spa in Los Angeles, and they're
apparently.
Like... Apparently. And they're like, allegedly, and they're like, maybe he's gay. I'm like... Any spa or gym in Los Angeles.
Exactly. Anybody who's anyone, if you're in a spa, the spa or the gym has got to be gay. So therefore, everybody's gay.
Everybody's gay. Everybody.
All right, I have to say something.
Oh, here we
I'm
go.
I'm gay.
Yeah, now it's
there
out. Now it's out. Your boyfriend's going to be pissed to find that out.
Actually, he might like it.
I don't think your boyfriend's going to be listening. No. No, he won't know about it. Let me ask you, what kind of arguments do you and Carol have when you write?
Oh.
Do you guys have arguments?
We don't really. We don't really kind of argue, but it's we have discussions, but we kind of know each other well enough that I know when she needs to be left alone or she knows when I need to be left alone. And, you know, like the other day when we were at Comic-Con, we're walking through one of the park areas. There was two big fountains next to the walkway, and I just looked at her, and she went, "Don't you fucking push me in." And I was about to do it. And we were on our way to a premiere party, and she would have been soaked when she arrived. And I was really desperate to do it. And
that's
then,
great.
You know, the other people who were with us just kind of walked forward. We grabbed Simon. Simon's like, "Don't you push me in."
It's always the publicist that goes in second.
They went to Comic-Con.
Yeah, they went
to
Comic-Con. Yeah, you got
paid. Did I get paid?
Of course
you go?
Got paid to go.
No, I didn't.
Really?
No, I went under my own kind of auspice. I didn't. I was on the Arrow panel, but
wow.
I didn't get paid for that.
Wow.
No.
Well, that's a stand-up thing.
I signed autographs and stuff, and I was at a booth, and people paid for the autographs.
Yeah.
No one.
How much is a John Barrowman autograph?
It depends. I think it's something if you buy the autograph separately or with a picture, it's like $45.
Wow. Your autograph is
so
high up there.
If I take the picture we took today, and then the builder's going to come, what he's going to sign.
No.
And I put it together. Can I put it on eBay?
You could get like truffle things at that Zamora.
You probably could. But I don't set those prices. I get hired by a company.
Yeah, right.
And I go, and I...
And you get a percentage of it, and they get
and
the...
They do
right.
They do all the deal with the pictures. I don't ever deal
but
with
you're
the
such a big deal. I mean, that $45, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
That's like, I'm fucking big.
$20 is a big deal, too. You know, so we
I'm hoping to get to like $5 for my autograph.
That's still
if
a big
I get
deal.
Five, that's a big deal for me. Right.
Well, maybe not really.
I
big.
Wish you guys could see his face.
What?
It's hilarious.
Yeah, $1. I'm fine with $1. Let me ask you about the 50th anniversary episode they're doing to Doctor Who.
Yep.
You say you're not going to be on it. You could be a liar about it.
Look at
if
me.
If you were telling the truth and not going to be on it, first of all, you're not going to be on
it. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I want all this bullshit to stop.
Yeah.
I want to. I am not.
So let's put a stop to it now.
I am not. On the 50th anniversary episode.
No surprise. No. Nothing.
I was not asked. And
really?
Totally. And Stephen Moffat, who is saying, you know...
He was at Comic-Con. Did you bump into him?
No, I didn't. I wasn't invited to that panel.
Yikes.
So you have all this stuff of him saying, you know, how do you guys know what's going to be in the 50th anniversary? Nobody knows. But you know what? I am not in it.
But you know you're not in it. That's
I
what
am
you
not
know.
In it. If Captain Jack is in it, he ain't being played by me.
So what's the deal with that?
I don't know. I don't write the show. I'm not the
producer. Do you know why you wouldn't be asked back? There's no problems with you or Steven,
no,
right?
No, not at all.
So you're just like, whatever.
Not at all.
You just weren't asked.
But I'm also a realist about it. It's not... I get more kind of frustrated by everybody asking me.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't bother me.
I got to ask you. That's my low-paid job.
But every other question on Twitter.
Oh, I bet, right?
And no one reads the time.
Well, that's what I saw. I saw your Twitter last night where you're like, for the last time, I'm not in it.
Yeah,
swear.
Totally.
But everyone thinks you're lying. Because this is the way Hollywood just works, where
you
it's like,
what?
Oh, it's a surprise.
No, and I don't know how to say it anymore.
You
I'm not
swear
lying.
On your penis.
I swear on my penis.
Okay. That's I believe him.
I am
he
not.
He needs that
but
really
you know
bad.
I understand why they don't put up some people in it, because stories have to progress forward.
Yeah.
Stories have
and they
to
have
move.
To make sense.
And they have to make sense. And if you keep bringing the same old people back, you know, it's Russell T. Davies who wrote, you know, Torchwood and brought the resurgence of Doctor Who back. And the original revamp of it. He once said to a fan, they were saying, why don't you bring the Brigadier back? He said, because we're not writing it for you.
Yeah.
We're writing it for a greater audience. Yes, the fan is involved, but and I'm not saying this from my point of view. This is what Russell was saying in a nutshell. We're not writing it for the uber fan, because if we did that, we'd alienate millions of people.
Sure.
So we have to write it for a bigger, greater audience. And that's why I understand if Captain Jack isn't in it. That's not to say that John Barrowman, the person, the fan, the actor, is not disappointed.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But
how would have you have included yourself? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
You never thought about it? You're like, well, there's a way to bring me back for this.
I've never thought of the way to bring back, but I thought how glorious it would be if he was brought back.
What about Torchwood? Is there going to be more Torchwood?
I don't know.
You don't know? Absolutely. I got to tell you, I was not a Doctor Who fan.
Yep.
And I saw Torchwood on Stars. And I got to tell you, I've told Melanie that I love that. I love that show.
That's a good show.
I had no idea who the fuck you were. I didn't know anything about anything, and then I became a huge fan. I mean, Torchwood was great. It's really, really great. And so congratulations with that, though.
Torchwood is the type of show that it's...
We talked about Jane. And Jane wrote the Miracle Day, right?
Miracle Day. Torchwood isn't dead.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the BBC may decide to do it, like, in a year,
sure.
5 years, whatever. It's up to them. You know, again, it's not my call. But if I'm asked to go back and play Captain Jack, I will do it at the drop of a hat.
That's great. Tell me about this singing competition you're doing right now, Sing Your Face Off.
All I can tell you, it's called Sing Your Face Off.
With John Lovett, a real singer like John Lovett.
I like him.
I do, too.
I met him at the 4th of July party on one of those extended parties.
That I don't get invited to.
Hotel.
Yeah, right.
You don't go.
That I don't go to. I don't get invited to. Like Val Kilmer's the other night.
Oh, my God.
No, it's all right. I'll remember this. I'm keeping a list.
The show is about taking celebrities and allowing them to become iconic singers that they've always wanted to be.
Okay.
And we randomly choose them and don't tell them who.
You're a judge, right?
I am the host.
You're a host. Oh, you're the host.
I am the host of the show.
Look at you, Dean Martin.
So there you go. I host the show because it's, you know, it's the first time I've done anything like that in the U.S., but in the U.K., you know, I've hosted my own Saturday Night Entertainment show for the last, gosh.
I know
years.
A couple of people that secretly want to be musicians and rock stars, but they're actors.
Right.
Well, those are the people that we want on the
show.
I'll
tell you who later
on. All right,
tell
me after.
Yeah.
Okay, but tell me this. But tell me this. Do you get drunk before you host any of these shows? I would get hammered. If I still drank, I'd be drunk right
now.
Are
you kidding?
It'd be more fun.
No way. The amount of stuff you have to follow and read and remember,
is that crazy,
there's no way you can.
They
do
don't
that.
Trust you with just a mic and, like, no script or anything.
Well, I'm allowed.
John Behrman Town.
No, I got to remember, it's ABC television. It's a family audience.
Yeah, we wouldn't do well on ABC without a script. No, that's true.
I'm allowed to go off key.
Just a beep, 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 beep. And so on.
So there are contestants. Daryl Hammond's a judge.
Yes.
And Debbie Gibson's a judge.
Correct. And then we have guest judges throughout the entire series.
And I saw Lisa Rinna is going to be on.
I don't know. Where are you getting this information?
I get all
from?
The information.
Google.
I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Well, I got the information. Landry Fields. I get it. Listen, I got top secret sources.
From Facebook.
It's as official as it gets. It's on Facebook. It's people
Facebook
sending it to me on
Facebook.
Facebook
is more accurate than CNN these days. So.
Is this real gossip here? EW party on Saturday night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to ask.
I wasn't allowed down the
with run. Your husband.
Yeah.
What the fuck's that?
They just wouldn't let him in.
What?
It said a guest list plus one. And we went to the door, and I said, look, you know, my partner's here. My publicist is with me. Well, that's your plus one. I said, yeah, but my partner, sorry. And then we asked the girl behind the desk. She went to ask the woman who was in charge, and I saw her. She went, absolutely no way. Absolutely no way. And I just said to Simon, right, we're going in. We're going down the red carpet, and then we're getting out.
You know, do they know who the fuck you are?
I'm not like that.
You need to do that move. That's where you need to do it, though. No, here's the thing. You don't play the "Do you know who I am?" card when you're at a restaurant or when you're with public people in the public life. When you're with these bullshit assholes in the entertainment business, and they're like, "No, your husband can't come in." Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm John Barrowman.
Yeah, but I
go fuck yourself.
No, you know what?
I would have.
Yeah, but you know what?
Fuck him.
I go down on what I did.
No.
The most obscure person who had the most obscure camera and for the smallest kind of website thing, Scott was at the other end. I grabbed him and I did a great big snog on camera for them, and then the rest of the people who were in the line, then they didn't get it.
Can we make sure EW knows, though, they were scumbags about that? They were apologizing to you, right?
I wouldn't say they were not scumbags about it, but they weren't doing it because he was a male.
Yeah.
They were just doing it
but it's your husband.
Of course it is.
Different.
As a husband, you become one.
Of course.
Right, it is.
I agree with you. And if
that's a new song right there, write it.
Most of the guys who walk down those red carpets are, you know, have got fake girlfriends on their arms.
That's
true. And I'm the real one with the boy on my arm.
At least you're real about it.
See, that's what you should do. John's a great singer. Write him that song right there, and he'll sing it. What was it called? Husbands Become One? They become one?
That's a Spice Girls song.
Spice Girls, two girls become one. Right. Oh, I knew that.
Damn it.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so anyway, EW, they weren't scum. They were, you know, and we did have a little bit of a fun time because we went in and we drank their booze.
Yeah.
And we drank their
all
booze.
Right. See, that's when you call, like, Jeff Boucher, though, and you're like, hey, Jeff, they're fucking with me out here. Get me in.
Nah.
Come on, somebody that loves you.
Well.
All right.
I didn't stay for very long. If you go on Twitter,
good
or
move.
On Facebook,
not staying
you'll
for
see
long. Where'd you end up going?
I went back to my hotel room and I went to bed.
Much better party
was the
there.
The bathroom in the room, or was it separated
yeah.
from
the bathroom?
You
was
were
separated
obsessed
from the room.
With where the bathrooms
you know
are in hotel rooms.
I can't. So, listen, okay. Here's a question from my book: would you poop in front of your
no? That was
other?
The whole point. I went to a place and the bathroom was not very private, and I was constipated for a week. And I have to wait, all those chances he's going downstairs to have something to the concert.
No, and you can't.
It's time to poop, you know?
Yeah, no, see,
can
we don't.
Can I ask you a question?
Scott, I don't have that problem.
I feel like this is a woman, gay man issue. What is with every friend of mine that's either a female or gay has to know when they're pooping? Like, they're not you. No, not you, Mel. No,
but
Mel does not tell me she's pooping. But I will have men and women both tell me. That's what I'm doing right now.
No,
pooping.
I don't say to people, I'm pooping. But what I'm saying is, are you comfortable in the relationship with your partner, your lover, your friend, your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, that you could sit in the bathroom and have a conversation with them while having a poop?
No, absolutely
no.
not. That
no.
is not allowed.
That's not about being comfortable. That's no.
Not even with a friend. I
oh,
can't
God.
You
can't.
Looking at me.
I'm looking for it right now.
No problem.
Really?
No problem. Scott and I have our best conversations in
while you're on
in the
shitter.
Bathroom. While we're having, one of us is having a poo.
One of us is having
really
a
great.
Poo.
You can talk about anything because.
But could he hear your noises?
Well, because it's already so ridiculous.
It's like sitting right next
oh,
to each
no,
other.
Oh no, man! I can't do that. That's crazy.
See,
sorry.
I don't want him to think about me doing that after that, and then no, I can't.
Anyway,
I talk about it. It's funny, but you know, I like
imagining you talking to your boyfriend
oh,
on the toilet, though. I am.
Taking a poo.
I am because right. I'm not imagining you taking a poo. I'm imagining your boyfriend's reaction to you talking while taking a poo.
No. Never happened.
I don't think so. You probably wouldn't be dating.
I have to go other places. I have to go bathrooms of miles away.
Did you know John was in Zero Dark 30?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I was in it for all but like 1 minute.
But
everything else ended up on the cutting room floor.
But you did work with James Gandolfini.
I did.
And
he was a lovely man. And
yeah.
And off camera was really funny, really gracious.
Great actor,
really
right?
good sense of humor, lovely actor, and a delightful man. And I'm glad that I was able to work with him and have a nice memory of him. Not that there's no nice memories, you know what I mean? But that memory I have in that particular moment was a good one.
How did Catherine Bigelow get you involved in that film? Do you know where she discovered, started watching
means?
You and stuff? Is she a Doctor Who fan?
No,
is she
I'll tell you the honest truth. It was the casting director who called me, and they said, we need some actors who are, and she said, it's a certain caliber of actor that we want, even for the smaller parts, blah, 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 blah. And they said, would you come in? We know you, and they said this to me, and I'm like, of course I'll do it. They said, would you come in and do a reading? I'm sure you wouldn't normally do a reading. Of course I do readings. So I went in, did it, and they said, yeah, well, that's it. Fine, great. Catherine Bigelow said, want him, da-da-da-da. And that was it, really. And that same week, the thing Catherine Bigelow was most thrilled about for me is I was part of the Queen's Jubilee celebrations, and I was hosting on the barge that had all the bells. I was hosting on there for the Jubilee for the BBC, and I had to finish filming by a certain day because I had to go for all the security clearance and everything to be there at a certain time. And she was most excited. She's like, say hello to the Queen for me.
Wow. You know what Bigelow means in Italian?
What?
Moron. Sorry. In northern Italy. Yeah, so...
A Bigelow. One of my companies is in Vicenza.
Yeah.
In Vicenza, Italy. Yeah.
You have a... How many companies do you have? What is this?
Skincare.
Look at you. You were like...
I have a men's skincare and women's hair care.
You do not.
Just
I
men?
Do. No, women's hair care.
You have men's skincare?
Yep. It's called hair.
I, I love men's skincare.
Well, I'll get you some.
Really?
Is this something you want to share with us today?
See, I think he's really gay.
I know.
Really, really gay. Oh, Mel's really? Like, yeah. Yeah, thumbs up. Definitely gay.
The,
She knows.
No, they both just said, Melanie's looking at me and she's thinking of something else. And John and Nadia were just saying how gay I am. And Melanie has her thumb up in the air and she's like, yes, yes, big time. Listen, I like men's skincare. What do you want from me?
Yeah, it's called
you
and I work.
Skin. You have great skin.
And I'm Italian. Mm. Isn't that how it works?
Well, you'd love this, Italy, and it's all made from natural Italian products.
Really?
See?
Yeah.
See, us Italians.
Yeah. I don't know about this shit.
Because we only sell it on QVC in UK at the moment, and it's all we're coming into QVC Italia.
You're going to be doing it here, though, right?
Hopefully the U.S. And
hopefully
also,
because, you know, the United States all wants to be healthy.
And that was really nice. My producer just sent me a note saying, by the way, John has a male skincare company.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
there you go.
Thanks, Pat.
So do you have a female skincare or just hair care?
No female skincare. It's just hair care we're starting with women because that's the way that most of them.
What about hair care with men? Because I don't have much left.
You can use the women's stuff, and it's a volumizing, so it will make your hair look fuller and thicker. And my sister was using it.
Carol, thumbs up.
Nice.
She uses it all the time.
Stuff available
biased,
online?
But okay. Okay. I believe you.
You can buy it online and go to the her hair care website. Don't ask me what it's off the top of my head because you just had it built. But if you look it up online, you'll get to it, and we do ship to the U.S.
So what other companies do you got your hands in?
Well, I have my own car company.
You do not.
Uh-huh.
You're like Elon Musk, too.
Who are you?
Yeah, who are you?
I really am Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, you're fascinating. Yeah. Yeah, you're your Tony Stark. Yeah.
No, I've got it's a business I have in the U.K. where I provide car drivers.
Like Uber.
Like Uber?
Yeah, you don't know what Uber is?
No, what's Uber?
Oh, yeah, that's smart. That's good.
The
that's like if
the,
I was talking to Ronald McDonald and he goes, Burger Fuck King Who? Yeah, that's right. That's good. That's good. What's the name of your company? And it's just in the UK, though?
Yeah, it's called Jomar Prestige Autos.
Sounds
that's
expensive.
A little fancier than Uber.
Yeah.
What kind of cars do you use?
S-Classes.
Woo!
You know, Porsches.
You two... Man, if he wasn't gay and if you weren't weird, you would be the perfect couple ever.
Yeah, but gay and weird, we go together like Rama Lama Lama, ba ding a ding dong.
I mean.
There you go. You're going to have to pay music right now.
No, I'm not.
Sorry.
No, I'm not. No one listens.
You want to sing a duet? You can sing a real duet.
This is him.com. And this is her.co.uk.
That's
is
it.
That right?
That is
okay.
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. And they're doing really phenomenally well. We've got great reviews about everything. And it's, like I said, it's all made in Vicenza, Italy. The factory's there. We work with the Origin Italia who we create. I've created it from the, you know, I've tested everything. It's got a 3-year shelf life. If it's unopened, a year shelf life. If it's open,
wow.
So it's really good quality product.
So let me ask you, my producer is like your biggest fan, according to him, on the planet.
Yeah.
I got to tell you. He like has been trying to get you forever. He's prepping me all the time. Pat Tobias, if you can give Pat a shout out, I would be so grateful.
Pat, come and see me, and I'll make sure that your skin looks really good.
You're gonna need a lot of skincare product for that. A lot. You're gonna need like baby placenta and whatever else people use in those things.
Not in mine.
Isn't that what people use?
Nope.
I remember I read somewhere like Bartolo Colon.
Garlic and olive oil.
There you
go.
They've got one of the things they put in a lot of the a lot of men's skincare that is in the market right now is actually just a derivative of women's and with the perfume taken out.
Right.
So basically, you're putting stuff that is created for a woman's skin on your face, right? Which is not right. The stuff that we've done it's skincare for a man created by men. And all the guys who run the company, we're all, you know, and we're all in it together. We're all men.
Where's the John Barrowman cologne? I'd wear it.
That's going to come.
It's going to
here, it's not going to be called John Barrowman because what I do not want to look like I'm doing is
be. You don't want to be that guy.
I don't want to be the actor who's just stuck my name on something to make money.
Sure.
I actually believe in these products.
Sure.
Can you make the cologne without a taste so in case someone accidentally.
No.
If you put it on your NAD, you're not going to get a problem, right?
Exactly.
I'll make it vodka flavored. How's
Thank
that?
Thank you.
Spritz on the
ball.
All right. All right. It'll eventually come.
All right, so you're working
it. Will.
Yeah. Is it going to smell better than my Tom Ford Black Orchid I got going here?
Probably.
I like your confidence. I'm curious about you, though, about one thing. You do something else that they say you shouldn't do in the business. So first, you're openly gay, very happy. No one can, you know, that didn't hold you back. Now the new thing is you're doing reality, because you got the hosting show that you're doing.
Yeah, but that's not reality. That's
unscripted, whatever.
Unscripted entertainment.
But how do you balance all that without getting pegged into one hole? Because usually, you know, agents out here, they'll say, oh, if you start doing that, then you're the host.
I just don't listen to
them.
You
just don't care.
No.
There
you just
go.
Do whatever you
want
to do.
I'm not on this planet to do what other people tell me to do. I'm here to do what I feel is right and what I think is right.
That's
what I do.
That's great.
And if somebody... I learned a very good lesson early on, and that was not everybody's going to like you.
Yeah.
And once you've learned that, you can do anything you want.
Yeah,
because you can deal with that negativity.
I know all too well. Not everyone's going to like
you. But I know.
Wait. Are you just having a moment from your teenage years?
No, from today.
From today.
From noon. Well, she, Nadia's a talk show host, or she's, that's good. That's making me feel all good inside. You got your fart machine?
Yeah, we got
the fart. I don't think that was, by the way, here's gay guys telling me they're pooping, see? Pooping. Guess what I'm doing? Pooping. And by the way, this is like not a rare thing. This is once a week. A different person telling me they are.
Do you know how hard
pooping.
It is for ladies to pretend that we don't poop?
Oh, I didn't think women did poop.
Oh, my God. You have not lived with my sister or my mother.
Really?
Oh, no. And that we're talking Midwestern
poop. No, yeah, my mom has Midwestern poop. You know what? That's true. My mom.
You know, my mother. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to embarrass the hell out of my mother. And I just burped. I'm really sorry.
So, no, it's
that
okay. It's rolling with everything else. Yeah.
Thanks.
That's a Midwestern burp.
My mother loved beetroot, right? Okay, you all know about beetroot?
Yeah.
Not only do you frighten yourself the morning the next day, right?
Yeah.
But my mother sometimes would forget to flush it.
Oh, no.
And then you'd go to the bathroom and you'd, oh, no.
Who was making
that?
Kool-Aid in the toilet? Oh, that's terrible.
I'm so sorry. You're trying to eat your lunch over there. And we're talking about Kool-Aid turds.
And you're always that loud when you get excited.
Kool-Aid's got big thirst for you. Oh, yeah.
Smash a bang a wop.
Is it true that you lost a role on Will and Grace because you weren't gay enough? Or
no,
is that bullshit?
No, it's here's, this is the story.
Because you could have sang the Grease song and you would have been in.
Because the a British newspaper tried to make out that I was lying about it.
Okay.
And I wasn't.
Was that the Daily Mirror?
You were lying about being gay?
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
You know?
I went to one of the producer callbacks and did my stuff. Didn't hear anything, so I asked my agent at the time to find out why I hadn't heard back. And he told me that they said I was not gay enough. I was too straight.
Wow.
And I went, really?
Now, this wasn't for Eric McCormick's role.
It was.
So Eric McCormick, who's
how
a
was the
straight man,
to blow someone or like, show
I have
you're gay
no,
enough?
I have
or?
No idea what it meant.
And of show tunes.
No idea.
You did something wrong in that audition. I don't know.
But you know what? It wasn't meant to be. You know, I might. And
you are pretty masculine, though. You're a masculine guy. I would never guess.
Well, here, the thing that was really interesting was because the newspaper in Britain tried to make out, always telling bullshit story. Da 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 da. So they went back to the studio and tried to find the records. Like any studio is going to write anything like that down.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Wasn't gay enough. No, yeah, we did take him in.
Agent was just giving me a bullshit story, that was what I was told. And that's my story, and I'm sticking
and
to
you know
it.
What the, you know what else agents do is they get gossip from people that weren't directly involved, and you know, who knows what's being said.
Yeah.
It's all.
It's like when they tell me, you were too pretty for that. Really?
Someone told you, that must hurt so much.
No, I wasn't slutty enough for that role.
Oh, well, then they just don't know you.
Because my boobs are small, probably.
Oh.
That was, yeah.
You got good boobs.
See, I told you you got good boobs.
I understand. If they're looking for some whore-looking girl, I may not fit the part.
Well.
I look classy, okay? My mouth.
You are
maybe
classy.
You're classy.
You've been talking about abortion sex.
I sound like a truck driver, but
right.
Classy.
Yeah, abortion sex and everything else, you're classy.
I'm just repeating
that's great.
After other people.
Oh, man. Thank God you're not selling children's books, because this would be the wrong show.
Yeah,
this is not the right show for children's books.
No.
Mid-grade books. Yeah, well, we're okay there.
I'm going to adopt a 17-year-old boy, just so you know.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she was talking about how she wants to adopt, like, already adult kids.
Release when he's 18.
Release. Release him.
Terrible. Oh, you're terrible,
this
Muriel.
This is roots. I'm going to release him. What is wrong with you? You know, I think I'm going to go to this book signing. It's in Montrose.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, a bookstore.
The line is massive.
I'm not going to this. I'm not going to this book signing.
Hey, if any, well, some of them might be listening online.
Yeah. Shout out to anyone standing in line outside in 86-degree weather. Waiting for John and Carol to sign books. That's insanity.
You should have come here instead.
Carol said the line is already around the corner, so if you're going to go there, you got to go like now.
Yeah, but we because even if it is around the corner, we will stay until every book is signed.
Wow, that's really great.
And we always do.
Well, I was going to go, but Mel and I don't do lines. Are we doing lines? No, we don't
do lines.
That's
very good because it's really bad for you. You know, I should stay.
Lines are bad for you?
Yeah. You know.
Oh, look, Mel got me a drink.
Oh, that's so nice.
Jesus, that's vodka.
Vodka.
That's like straight up vodka,
smell it from
Mel.
Here, Jesus Christ.
Awesome.
I haven't been to Montrose, so part of my fascination with going to this book signing is to see what Montrose is like.
I'm wondering if it's like a village town.
Yeah, like they have a Chili's in there.
Well,
and a
Chili's?
Yeah, Red Lobster
what
maybe.
What village town has a Chili's or a Red Lobster?
And the villages I go to, actually.
Fox Valley Village, more like
yeah,
it.
There's a Fox Valley reference. There we are. You win.
Do I drive up? Are there quaint little farmhouses? Is there an antiques gallery? Is there something where we can go in and look at the handcrafts of the ladies of the town? That's what I think it's going to be like.
My French...
Am I going to be wrong?
Let me tell you how much I don't know about village town. My French friend was pitching me show ideas yesterday to take to my agent for reality shows.
Yeah.
And he was talking about one with involving farming. And I go, basically I asked him what the hell goes on a farm. So village towns, farming, I'm not too...
You don't know what goes on a farm?
I didn't. And in France, okay. I don't know. I'm assuming it's different. No?
Farms in France?
No, is what, it like Amish consistent? Country?
No.
I don't know.
Do you think like the farm animals speak French?
I don't know. I just feel like it's
like
different.
Like a French cow. A Midwestern cow is moo. A French cow is meh. And then you have a sheep in the Midwest, it's bah. And in France, it's bruh.
Listen, I'm just assuming. I'm probably wrong. Farms in France.
Did you ever go to Lake Geneva?
Yes.
Okay.
Love Lake
Geneva.
You know
the little... There was a place called the Little Traveler in Lake Geneva.
Okay.
Is that right?
The Little Traveler. Okay.
And my mother and I used to go up on weekends sometimes with my grandmother. Totally gay. And it was like a little antique village, and the Little Traveler was a shop where it had like all these
antiques.
Fancy things, and you could have afternoon tea and little sandwiches. And then when I was a teenager, I thought that was great.
Little cucumber sandwiches.
Oh yeah,
oh,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, the best.
Brilliant.
That is the best.
Yeah.
Little tea. Oh,
no
yeah.
clue.
Can I ask a personal question?
All right, I do get antiques. Yeah, personal question. Whoa.
When did
personal
you...
question.
Nine.
Okay.
Nine. Well, she.
When
you, I was going
to
ask
when did I come out? When I know I was gay?
No, I was going to ask something else. Okay.
Oh, no. I knew I was gay when I was nine.
Nine.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's all right.
When I was going through puberty, I knew exactly.
You went through puberty at nine?
Yeah.
That's a little premature, but I was going to say.
It might be premature, but it all turned out pretty damn well.
Thank you. All right.
You saw it when he dropped his
Well, hand. John, I'm so glad I came on. I hope you come back whenever you're in town.
Anytime.
Whenever that is.
Anytime.
I mean, maybe I'll come to Palm Springs and interview you from somewhere there.
Actually, if you come to Palm Springs, you can interview me from we can do it from the swimming pool.
At the Ritz-Carlton.
It's a house. house.
Oh, he has a private swimming pool. Oh, like you and all your rich friends.
And then also you can, and we'll do a little. We'll put it on over
Instagram
so we can tweet it.
Oh, good. Like dancing in the background.
That'd be good.
And
yes.
I'll charge you $3,000 for the use of the house.
That's not bad. $3,000's going right. That's going right. We used Lovitz's for $3,000. But Lovitz didn't let us film or record anything. but thank you
You're so welcome.
Bone Quills and then what else you got coming out? You got you should watch Arrow anyways, people.
I'm going back over. Yeah, watch Arrow.
Just watch it.
Yeah. And then I'm back over to the UK in September to film 25 episodes of a new show I'm doing over there.
And then what about the reality show, the singing competition?
It's not a reality show.
That's what it's called.
There's people not living. We're not living in a house or trying to find a fiance or a husband.
Why not? That'd be
good. Because it's not reality. My name's not fucking Kardashian.
Not yet. We're still working on that branding.
By the way, needs the first name in Kardashian the last
Hold
name.
On a second. Why haven't we seen any pictures of that baby yet?
Because it doesn't exist.
I think there's no baby. What is it?
They haven't casted it yet.
Are we gonna go there? We all know he's a fucking alien, okay?
Conspiracy theory. Oh, is it 5 million? 5 million is the bid at the moment for the picture.
What?
Of the first picture of the baby, they're offering $5 million.
$5 million.
You know what I hope? This is what I hope. Ugh. What Angelina and Brad did, so Brangelina, when they had the pictures of their kids, they donated the money to charity. I hope that Kim Kardashian and what's his name?
Yeah, Kanye West.
Kanye West. Sorry. See how much
I
watch?
I don't even know.
I hope Kim and Kanye have the audacity or the guts enough to donate that $5 million, or if it's more, to charity.
Hope in one hand, shit in the other. Yeah. See which one's more real. That's what's going to happen there.
I'll sit in the bathroom with them while they shit because I have no problem with it.
You don't have a problem with
it. And I'll talk to them. I'll convince them to spend
If I ever just poop in front of someone, I'll call
you. Is this the filthiest John Barrowman interview ever?
No.
I got to turn it up a notch next time is what you're saying.
Because I'm one of those guys, when you interview me, I know that if I feel the flow of the show and I know the audience.
Yeah.
But if I'm doing a show like if I were on The View.
Marie Osmond, when you did Marie.
Yeah, it would not be, it's completely different. You got to.
You and Marie didn't talk about the comfort, the pooping and talking?
No.
No, it's not Marie Osmond's thing. I'm glad you saved that for me, John. Thank you. I'm glad John looks at Marie Osmond and goes, oh, yes, we're going to talk about Phantom of the Opera and Andrew Lloyd Webber and Broadway. And then he looks at me and he goes, pooping in the bathroom while talking.
In the Ritz.
Yeah.
At least the Ritz.
Right, because he looked at you. That's where the Ritz came into play.
You're blue, you don't know where to go to. Why don't you go where you get the shit? Do it in the Ritz.
Oh, yeah. John Barrowman, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Go tonight, 7 p.m. Right. At Once Upon a Time Bookstore, Montrose. We're going to wrap up, Nadia and I, because I think I'm going to head over to this book signing. I think I'm going to go buy a John Barrowman book. I don't get them for free. I'm going to go buy one, John and Carol,
Dude, you're not getting
their
for
book.
Free at all. You
no.
got to pay for it.
I know. That's why I just said, buy a John Barrowman
pay
book.
For.
Yeah, you got a swimming pool and private parties to pay for. I feel like I should be hanging out with Carol and Nadia should be hanging out with John. I feel like we're more in the same.
Hold on a second. Nadia, love you, babe, but my sister is so high maintenance.
Not even funny.
Yeah, but we're like high maintenance, pretend that we're low maintenance. That's where we get off with it.
You know what? There's a reality show. Spend a week with my sister.
Oh, I'd love to. That sounds great. I'll spend 7 days with your sister and we'll put it on
poop.
TV. Thank you very much, John.
I'll see you later. Thanks, guys.
Nadia, you got anything you got to plug real quick?
All this poop talking made me hungry.
All right, I'm going to chop salad too.
Shit
a shit sandwich? Yes, and a chop salad. All right. Thank you very much for everyone that tuned in. The Matthew Aaron Show, sponsored by Taste Chicago here in Burbank, 603 North Hollywood Way. Thank you, Joe and Arlene Montaigne, for having us. Always come by, have the mini deep dish pizza. And you follow us on Twitter, at Matt Aaron Show. Follow us on Facebook at The Matthew Aaron Show. And go to the search, type in The Matthew Aaron Show, click like. TheMatthewAaronShow.com, where you can find everything, including today's episode. And on iTunes, you can find today's episode. And that's about it. And we will be back Wednesday with Dick Koechner. And hopefully Nadia will be back soon.
Yes, I'll take naked pictures in the bathroom.
You know I love you, right?
Twitter, okay?
You should come on all the time. I love you. You spruce up the show a little. All right, and we will see you guys later. John Barrowman and Carol Barrowman, you can see, go to their book signing tonight. It's in Montrose at Once Upon a Time Book, 7 p.m. Thank you very much, and we will talk to you later.